meeting to order. Please stand, Charles. Oh, Hank.
Okay, Annette is not able to make it. She's ill today, so she asked me to bring up the back to school brigade, which is tomorrow at the community center on base from 9 to 12. And if you are interested in going, I think you have to get a pass to get on the base. But it's first come, first served. They're going to have backpacks and other school supplies available for students. So we have that available. School begins next Wednesday on the 14th, and back to staff is back on Monday the 12th. All staff will be at Bear River for back-to-school breakfast and trainings. We finally have the clearance from the state on our solar array shade structure for Wheatland L. So, yes, clap. It's a process to go through the state architecture.
Good job, Sherry. Look how fast you got that done.
So we're hoping to see some construction starting sometime during the school year. Speaking of construction, so Sherry talked to Caltrans today, and here's the update for the city construction or the highway construction. The team is aware that the school start date and plan to move to nights on Sunday and Monday to get as close as normal as possible for the first day. The areas in front of the strip mall should be completed in 2 days. The pavement will be on pause until after winter as to not conflict with school and bishops. The large orange barrels will be gone. There will be a few cones still, and the striping should be done on Tuesday. So that's the update from Caltrans.
So does that mean, I'm sorry, but will that mean that we're going to have a crosswalk for students that's going to be the striping? Was that part of the striping?
I don't know, but my understanding is they're taking the crosswalk out. That is not on Raj's side, but the other side. And so we will have to cross kids twice now. We're going to have to cross them across the highway and then across Hoover. So, not Hoover, whatever.
They said the light won't be going in yet.
Oh. I'm talking about like the Raja side for the people from this side going over.
Cause, yeah, that's the one they're taking out on, the one that's by the house there. All right, after school. So we know there's been a major point of discussion since emails went out. I'd like to cover a little more about what is happening with our after school program. We are only allotted a specific number of slots per site. There is a state priority that we must follow, which is foster youth, homeless, and low income. They have first priority to the program. The number of students that signed up this year was significantly higher than the previous years. We have to have an adult student ratio of 20 to 1, but now they've changed the rules, and TK and K are 10 to 1. So that means we need more adults for the number of students. So we have many parents that have been in the program for years and they didn't get in because of the priorities. We have some additional monies that we could put towards the program. However, we are not able to find staff. We have two unfilled positions right now just to meet the student load currently on the books. We would need an additional 4 to 6 to expand the program for 20 more kids per site. We interviewed two this week and offered both positions, and one turned it down, so we did receive one new position. We are stuck trying to expand a program until we can get people to apply for the jobs. The issue is that nobody seems to want to work from 1:30 to 6. If we have a para opening from 8 to 12:30, we'll get 35 applicants. We have an opening from 1:30 to 6, and we are lucky if we get an applicant. But we're going to continue to try. Let's see. We do have a number of people that their students did get into the program, but they have not completed the mandatory paperwork. It is due by tomorrow. If they don't turn it in, then they will be removed from the program, and the list, the waiting list will be used to add those positions back, or those spots back.
Now, does the waiting list go by the time that they logged in, you know, that?
So,
or, I mean, it once goes, you get over the income portion, then does it go, okay.
Yeah, so the waiting list is based on the time that they, we actually had at Bear River, which is extremely unusual. We had a parent log in at, you can log in at 4 o'clock. They logged in at 4 o'clock at 36 seconds and didn't get in because of the priority list. So if there are students that are on the waiting list that are in those priorities, then they get bumped to the top. I don't believe we have any of those. But the other thing about the priority list is you can have somebody sign up at 4:01 and not get in. But if you're one of these priorities, you can sign up 3 weeks later and get in. This is the first year we've had a waiting list at all sites, and we're doing all we can to add spots. We just need employees. So if anybody knows anybody who's interested in a part-time job, tell them to let us know.
And that's a...
depends on if they wear, they drive their pink scooter or not.
I'll take you for your supervisor anytime I need one. Can I have an answer to the question that you asked? How much does it
pay? What does it pay?
I
don't have it in front of me, but I think that it's right around, starting wage is right around $20 an hour, and it can go up from there. I'm going to talk about enrollment now. So at the time of the agenda, which it's already outdated, but we had 1,366 students signed up. That's 39 more than we had last year at this time, and 24 more than we ended with. The number will change as we will have some no-shows, and we will have students that enroll late, as of today or tomorrow or the day before school or the day after school starts. So the actual number is going to vary from this. We currently have 79 students in the preschool program, which is 5 more than we started with last year, but 13 less than we ended with. That's typical. Preschool sometimes comes in mid-year. We should have additional students enroll in that program as well. So we have a total of 1,446 with all groups, 45 more than we had last year at this time, and 12 more than we ended with last year. And that is all I have for superintendent's report.
Moving on to communication from the public, items not on the agenda.
I'm just going to read, I just wanted to touch on 3 points, so I just wrote down my thoughts. I'm here today to express my concerns about several critical issues that directly impact our district and the community they serve. First, I want to address the topic of the board member health benefits. There have been claims circulating that that accepting these benefits has no impact on students because the funds can't be redirected to student programs. This is simply not true. Those monies come from the general funds and can be easily redirected to our students. Let's look at the numbers. As of 2023, according to Transparent California, our district is contributing $1,513.66 per month for each board member's insurance premiums, which total $18,163.96 annually per board member. If all 5 board members take benefits, and yes, I'm aware that one does not currently, that's $90,819.80 each year allocated solely to board member health benefits. To put this in perspective, our district receives approximately $12,000 per student in average daily attendance funding. This means that over $90,000 is being spent on board member benefits, which is equivalent to the funding generated by about 7 to 8 additional students. I'm sorry, I'm shaking. I'm not used to speaking in public. Imagine what we could achieve if those funds were redirected towards enhancing educational programs, improving classroom resources for our teachers, or supporting student services. The claim that these benefits don't take away from our students is a clear misrepresentation of the facts. And also don't forget that the teachers who work day in and day out for our students are receiving a health benefit package valued way less than the board members. Next, I wanted to discuss the Brown Act violations. The Brown Act prohibits serial meetings, which occur when a majority of board members discuss district business in a series of communications, even if they do so individually. This can happen through email, text messages, or social media platforms. If multiple board members respond to the same post or participate in a discussion on social media, and this involves a majority of the board, it can be considered a serial meeting and a violation of the Brown Act. Recently, three board members were involved in a discussion within a private group on Facebook about a superintendent's salary. This discussion involving a majority of the board outside of a properly noticed public meeting constitutes a clear violation of the Brown Act, which is designed to ensure transparency and public participation in government decision-making. It is essential that the board members uphold the law and conduct district business in a manner that is both legal and transparent. This incident undermines the trust of the community places in this board, and this was not the first occurrence. It isn't just a bad look, it's illegal. Additionally, I want to express my disappointment regarding the recent behavior exhibited by our superintendent on social media. It is deeply concerning to see a district leader publicly discrediting parents and community members by labeling them as liars and accusing them of spreading misinformation. This kind of unprofessional conduct does not build trust or foster collaboration. It only creates division within our community. Our district leadership should be setting the example of respectful and open communication, not resorting to public accusations and encouraging their friends and family to do the same. And last, finally, I want to address the issue of how the cost of living or the COLA funds are being utilized. There is a growing concern that these funds, which are intended to support the overall financial health of our district, are being disproportionately used to fund significant salary increases. It seems, though, the superintendent is using the Me Too clause, when negotiating his contract extensions and raises, meaning he first negotiates everyone else's salary and contracts, giving them 8%, then uses their raise as a justification for his own. How can a person negotiate in the district's best interest if he's negotiating his own increase? If this trend continues unchecked, we could find ourselves in a situation where our superintendent's salary outpaces that of the President of the United States. This is not an exaggeration, but a real concern about fiscal responsibility and priorities. COLA funds should and can be used for more than just salary increases, as we have seen in other districts. Furthermore, there has been ongoing justification for the superintendent's salary increases based on the claim that the superintendent is performing multiple roles, such as food service director, director of maintenance, and preschool director. However, it is impossible for Mr. Gunsler to be able to work four full-time positions within the district. In reality, the district's salary schedule clearly lists positions such as cook manager, cafeteria lead, child development program specialist, and preschool site lead. These director roles are being filled with lesser titles and lesser compensation, and these individuals are doing the day-to-day work that the superintendent claims to be handling himself. Additionally, when we compare our administrators' salaries to those neighboring districts with similar populations, the discrepancies are shocking. We're paying top dollar for leadership that's failing to meet even the basic standards of professionalism and transparency. The current trajectory of salary increases is not only unsustainable, but also misaligned with the financial realities and needs of our growing district. In closing, I want to urge the board to reconsider how resources are allocated and to ensure that our students' needs are at the forefront of every decision made. I also call for a higher standard of professionalism, transparency, and legal compliance from our district leadership. Thank you.
I could speak to all of this, but it doesn't do any good. So, I'm very happy to present to the board many of these items that Ms. Leonard is discussing. She is off on some of her numbers. First of all, I don't believe I've ever called anybody a liar, but I do say they exaggerate. And secondly, I'm sorry that you feel like I'm unprofessional. However, when you beat me up on social media, you deserve a response. And I'm gonna give you a response, and I don't really care how you feel about it. So that's how you get, okay? Secondly, as for board act violations, I agree that we had three people get on. I believe that you were baited to get on. But in the future, we need to make sure that that does not happen. That is a rule that has recently come into play in the Board Act because of social media. And we will set up a Board Act training at, probably after the election, so we see what happens. But I know that all of you don't intentionally try to violate a law. You were just trying to provide information that was from your perspective. So.
And on that, I would just like to say, we all three were not discussing the same issue. My comment was that our district, nobody from the top to the bottom, is unprofessional in the fact that they would take out anything that was said or posted on children in this district. And I did not discuss numbers, positions, anything else, and that. So I have a hard time for it being a meeting if we're not all three discussing the same items. And it's something that we are voting on or a decision is being made. However, I will not be there, and to the point of where it's ridiculous to have to look and see, oh, should we, I'm not even gonna go into the pettiness of, you know, just other things, but we'll definitely not be doing that. And
yeah. I wanted to say that I was the third person to comment, so I'm the one that violated the Brown Act, and my apologies.
I think it's a bummer that you guys want us to be involved and be there for you, but only two at a time.
No. I get the numbers straight from Transparent California. You submit them.
Let me just speak.
Wait. Okay. Public, I'm allowed to speak. When our salaries are being compared, the comparison that was there, some of the salaries that were on that website from the other districts were taking from a year prior to 2 years prior. Yes, I do make a good substantial amount of money. Yes, I do put in time. However, when you're comparing me to a principal that is in their third year and I'm in my 24th year, yes, I am at the end of a pay scale. Look at Yuba City Unified, look at some of the surrounding districts, and those administrators that have been committed to their schools and that are still in that position and still doing that same job 25 years later, they will make more than I will. I have not left Wheatland School District because I love this town. I've been committed to this town and I put my time into this town. So to have my name thrown out there and publicly made, I don't take anybody else's salary, I don't post anybody else's information, and I don't take benefits. So even those benefits that are listed on that website, I don't take those benefits. So information that automatically goes into those state systems when they pull it isn't necessarily the full amount of information, and it is not always correctly imported. 2 years ago, it said that I made $260,000. I made nowhere near that. So be open, do your research, find out the real information. If you want to come and you want to ask me what I make, I will gladly tell you what I make, but I am in my 32nd year of this profession. And I've been in this district for 24 years as an administrator. So I do have the right to be at the end of a pay scale, just like the teachers get to the end of a pay scale.
Not only them. But Angela, it's also not listed on Transparent California that you are the special ed director for the district either. So there are other, like you said, it's apples to apples.
Just one more clarification. So for those of you that don't know me, I'm Robin Richardson. I teach 8th grade English here. I have taught in 4 different states. I'm currently licensed in 3 different states, both certified to teach English, certified to teach multi-subject K-12, and certified to teach math. So when they list that on See Through New York, Transparent California, what we don't see and what they don't tell us is the money that's pulled out of my paycheck, as well as the district's contribution for retirement, is part of that overall package. And Ms. Brando and I, a couple years ago, they had our salaries at double what we make. Something happened in that system, it was probably a 200,000 thing year. But those monies, that money, that 10% that's pulled out of my paycheck and that 10% of STRS that the district is contributing, that I don't see, that we don't see, that go into the California's retirement pool and we kind of hope it's there when we retire. The way their budget's going, maybe not so much, who knows? But those figures are put in there, as well as things like benefits, which I do not take. My husband is retired from the Air Force, as well as a retired defense contractor. We don't take those benefits. So that is all added in there. So it really gives an overinflated, it's like I tell my eighth grade students, you can make any number, any research, anything you want to prove, follow what you believe. A true critical thinker looks at the other side and looks at what the opposite might say, and does that opposite, do I put it aside because I don't want it to agree with me, it's disagreeing with me, or do I say to myself, oh, that's a valid point, I should really thoroughly research what the other side would respond. As someone who has worked in many different states, I will say this is a place I felt most at home. This is a place, the only place I applied when we moved back here the second time we were stationed at Beale. And this is the only superintendent that I have went toe-to-toe with. We've had disagreements. We've never lost civility. His heart has always been in the right place. And he's always been one of the best. Like, I can say the best supervisor I've had, superintendent, and the best my children have had in 10 different states where we've lived. So thank you for what you do.
I'd like to step away from the money piece. I am Jody Jacklett, principal at Lone Tree School and Wheatland Charter Academy. And there is not one board member sitting here that wouldn't speak to any community member at any time about any topic. Our superintendent is available 24/7 to anyone who has a question or concern. I've been in this district since 1993. I have no intentions of being anywhere but here, and I plan to retire here, and I'm damn proud of it. And to be part of this community and part of who we are is a big deal. So if there are questions or concerns, bring it to those directly, and we're happy to talk to anyone.
That is correct, and let me just talk a little bit about that, because you indicated in your posts that I'm the highest paid superintendent in Yuba County, and how dare I make more than the Western Placer.
And can you read my exact words?
No, I don't have them in front of me.
I didn't say that, and I actually have a PDF of the whole
good.
Filing.
Good, I'm sure you can
but
read
I
it.
I never said those words.
You said that I'm overpaid, and that I make more than the others in the local areas, and you referred to Western Placer. So I'm going to read some information that I have.
Great.
Okay? So looking at the 2022 California, Transparent California, my salary was $243,925, and I made $1,845 in other pay for my master's. The high school superintendent was $196,669 and made $19,674 in other pay. The superintendent of Plumas Lake made $211,789, $55,506 in other pay. Western Placer, $232,600 in other. So my total is $245,000. The high school's $216,000. Plumas Lake is $267,000. And Western Placer's $238,000. Now, what I'd also like to mention is that Dr. Roberts at Plumas Lake has been a superintendent for, this is his beginning of his 16th year. This is the beginning of my 15th year. This is beginning of the high school's superintendent's fifth year and Western Placer's third year. So again, when you look at salary schedules for all employees in education, the longer you're in a district, the more you're going to make. That is the way it works. A teacher that's been there for 4 years and a teacher that's been there for 16 years do not make the same salary. Secondly, let's talk about the actual cost of district administration. In our district, Our cost of administrative support is $28,318. That is stipends that go to our three principals for other duties as assigned. For example, director of special education, director of the charter school, and director of student services. In the high school, excluding their grant-funded directors, they have three, for a total of $355,000. At Plumas Lake, they have two, for a total of $354,000. At Western Placer, they have three assistant superintendents and four directors, for a total of $1,092,640. So our direct cost for district-level support with my salary and the money that goes to the principals is $274,000. The high school is $571,000, Plumas Lake is $566,000, and Western Placer is $1.3 million. We do this because we want the money to go back to kids. That is what we do. And I also looked at what I have taken over since I've been here for 15 years and what that cost is to the savings to the district. $311,000 we had saved every year because I took on the director of preschool, the director of food services, and that is with adding people back in that do similar job, and the director of maintenance. So basically I'm saving the district more money than you're paying me, unless I make that 570 some odd thousand that they said I made 2 years ago. And then I just want to say, and then Robin really touched on this, but the Transparent California benefits, people read that as, my gosh, they get that much in health benefits. It is absolutely not the case. It is health benefits. It is the retirement that the district pays into retirement. The way retirement works is the district pays a percentage, the employee pays a percentage, and the state pays a percentage. This is just the district's percentage. So when you look at that, if you have a higher salary, then your percentage of STIRS is going to be higher.